Good morning, everybody. Welcome as we come to worship today, whether you are in person or whether indeed you join us online. We bid you a really warm welcome this morning here at St. Columba's in Deira Volga. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a new day filled with new opportunities and new perspectives. We welcome the family of little Robin today as she comes to be baptized, but we'll hear more about that later in the service. Let's pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you that this is a new day. We thank you that you're the God of mercy and the God who creates a clean space for us to walk into. So in this moment as we gather, over the next few moments, over the next hour, help us to set aside distractions and to focus on you, to open our hearts before you and receive afresh and anew from you. May you be at work in our hearts, in our lives, and in this community, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Today's reading is from Genesis chapter 9, beginning at verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals. All those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Debbie. We're in the middle of a series at the moment called He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, thinking about creation, about us shining, I suppose, brightly. So one of the questions that I want to ask this morning is, hands up if you've got a pet. Is there stuff coming on the screen? Yeah. So, who's got a dog? Well, it wasn't all supposed to come up together. Who's got a dog? Okay. Who's got a cat? We're not cat lovers in here by the looks of things. Who's got a goldfish? Oh, right. Wow. Excellent. What's its name? What's a goldfish called? No. Stone. Okay. I feel there's a story behind this. I'm not quite sure I want to know it just at the minute. Anybody got an elephant as a pet? A giraffe? A lion? Funny story. No. I, as you probably know, I've told you before, one of my first ever jobs, and this is true, one of my first ever jobs was, hands up if you remember the Causeway Safari Park? Yeah. I was, at the age of 13, responsible for opening and closing the gates to the lions. Nothing between me and them. 13. £5 a day I got. No danger money in them days. Sure there wasn't. Five a day. That was an interesting wee summer job, so it was. And there was a wee magic number. There were two prides of lions. I don't know if you remember. One stayed away at the bottom, one stayed close to the gates. One was close to the gates had a magic number. I think it was 8 was the magic number. And you used to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Every time you opened the gate, just to make sure you knew where the lions were in your own wee head. So I did that one day. And then the car that I was letting in wouldn't move. And the wee man was knocking the window and pointing at me. And I was going, aye, move on. And then he kept pointing. And then I realised I'd count it wrong. And there was a lion standing beside me. Thankfully, well, it didn't do in because I'm still here. That was a frightening moment. But we don't keep those things, those animals as pets. But we do keep others. But can you imagine what it must have been like for Noah. All those on the ark. Now, let's just read a little bit about that. In chapter 7 of Genesis, it says this. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, male and its mate. And also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep the various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe away the face of the earth, every living creature that I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded. In many ways, it's a story that if we've been about church at all at any stage of our lives, it's something that we're told. We've heard the story of Noah. And we know that Noah was ridiculed and he was laughed at for believing in God and for building such a big boat. If you read the scriptures, it also says that no rain had entered the earth at that stage. Rain didn't exist. The earth was watered from the ground up. Things bubbled up rather than rain coming down. So the fact that God was going to send rain was also a very absurd, really ridiculous moment. Anybody guess what age Noah was whenever he started building the ark? Rough guess, what age do you think he was? 30? Nope. 94? Nope. 80s? Nope. 70? Nope. Can I just say you're way off? 120? Nope. Nope. Older? Up until this point, God had not numbered the days of people on the earth. It's only after this point. Noah was about 500 years old whenever he started building the ark. So there are hope for all of us today in what it is that we might be called to do. And how long do you think it took Noah to build the ark? Charlotte? Very good. But 100 or 120 years, he was ridiculed and laughed at. So he was about 600 whenever he went into the ark. Can you imagine? He had to build all of this by hand. This was, AI didn't exist then, obviously. He couldn't kind of come up with the plans. God gave him the plans. And he started building all of this by hand. He was ridiculed and laughed at for over 100 years about what was about to happen. And so at the heart of this story is about mankind's sin. Having got to the point in the world where God said he regretted creation. It's a very hard thing to hear that God would say he had regretted creating mankind. But at the heart of this story is also God's mercy. The heart of this story is Noah's faithfulness. At the heart of this story is God's promise. What way did God show his promise? He put a rainbow in the sky. So Noah and his family were saved. 40 days and 40 nights it rained. And then for well over a year or longer, before the waters subsided, before Noah came out of the ark. And God said never again would he do that. He'd put a rainbow in the sky. And so every time we look at the rainbow, we're told to remember that God is faithful and that he carries out his promises. I don't know about you, but whenever you see a rainbow in the sky, you kind of stop and go, oh, there's a rainbow. There's something about a rainbow that captures our imagination, especially whenever it's a double rainbow. A Balamina man tries to follow the end of the rainbow to see if he could ever find that little pot of gold. But the rainbow captures our imagination. So the next time we see the rainbow, just don't allow it to capture our imagination and for us to go, oh, look, a wonderful rainbow. Let's look and remember God's faithfulness and God's promise. And we'll hear a little bit more about that in a few moments. As I said at the beginning, we're in this series of He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. And as we look up and we see the rainbow, we remember God's faithfulness and God's promise. We've thought about the fact that in the beginning, that there was a rhythm in creation, that God created a rhythm for us, and that rest is a vital part of that rhythm. We thought about the fact that we're created in his image, There's eternity placed in each one of us, that into us, God's image, there is. We've been created like him, yet we've rebelled against him, as we heard last week in the fall. And the consequences of that is that we are separated from God. But yet there is redemption. There's a moment where we are brought back to God and brought back to who he is and what he has done for us in the cross of Jesus Christ, being made right through that sacrifice. As we already said, today is about that mercy and that judgment. It's a story that's well known to us. And often it's a story that can be ridiculed by the culture, the world around us, that science can disprove the flood in so many ways. Yet there are so many scientists who would say they can prove the flood. That the bubbling up from the earth creates the spike in the stones, in the rock formations. That certain parts of the seas have fossils in them that could not have been there had it not been for the flood. At the top of the tallest mountains, there is sand and seabed residue left there. There are so many ways that we could go in, out of all day and have a conversation, a debate with many people around whether we think this actually happened or it didn't. But as believers, we believe God's word to be true. And whenever we look up to it, he reveals himself to us. God's power to judge us is real. And that's also a huge part of what this story is about today. This is about a covenant. It's a covenant where God says, you are mine and I am yours. That covenant comes, like any covenant, comes with us signing up to it, if you like, with us saying wholeheartedly we are in this. And yes, we believe today the covenant of God's faithfulness is with Robin, but there'll also come a point where we believe and trust and pray that she will come to a personal decision to trust Jesus. That's what our scriptures teach us. That's what our prayer book liturgy spoke to us today. But yet in the midst of all of this covenant and promise, we also hear that God, in his infinite love and mercy, holds us accountable. Otherwise, it's a cheap love and a cheap mercy if it has no consequences. And so the corruption in chapter 6, verse 5, it says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth. God noted something had changed in the free will that he had given us in that moment in the garden and as he created us, that we had chosen to walk away from him and not continue to walk with him. But he found Noah. And Noah is described as the only righteous, faithful person left in the earth. In fact, sometimes Noah is described as the one who is faithful in a faithless and corrupt generation. So there's a lot we can learn about Noah and from Noah. And in the culture that we live in, we're increasingly going to have to stand up to the ridicule and the unbelief that is being placed on us and against us as believers in Jesus Christ. This story of the flood is a dramatic act of cleansing and renewal. It's a moment where God says, okay, a fresh start will begin. And even though God created a world where we should have lived forever, but because of the fall, God said death would come. And in the early days of the scriptures, we hear of people living like Noah 500 years, Methuselah 949 years. But it's at this point that God now numbers the days of man on earth. But this covenant of mercy is extended to each one of us today. His promise never to destroy the earth by water or flood again is as true today as the day that he made it. Whenever we look and see a rainbow in the sky, There's a moment that we can remember that our God is a faithful God and a God who is filled with promise and a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the God who speaks in this moment is the same God who died on a cross for each one of us. And so it is incumbent upon us today that we would trust in God's faithfulness, even amidst the moments of judgment and cultural deceit that we see. That we would live as promise people. People who are filled with promise and who believe God's promises. Because that gives us a hopeful future. That gives us a hope that this is not all that there is. That the God that we worship is a God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, seek, or would even dare to imagine. The God that we worship is a God who is able to start everything new. And no matter how far you think you are from him, how far you've fallen in your life, he offers us that moment to start afresh today. May we each receive that promise and live that life. Let's pray. Help us simply not to lift our eyes up and to wonder. To lift our eyes up and to wonder at who you are, all you've done for us. To stand in awe in your presence. To receive your faithfulness and your promise and to walk in it. That our shoes and our feet would be filled with hope, carrying that to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we finish with Romans chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.